So the title of our message this morning is We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. What a wonderful weekend we had last weekend. And I always encourage people, don't compare services. The scripture clearly says, when you put your hands to the plow, you keep looking forward. If you look back, then you're not fit for the kingdom. Because God strategically does in each service what he desires to do. And when we're open to that, then God can bless us. He can increase us. He can keep adding on to us. He can keep giving us what it is that we need. Because he knows what this group needs. He knows everything that lies ahead of us. And he knows exactly what we need. So as you're looking at those scriptures, you might look at them and go, well, this really doesn't make a lot of sense the way this all goes together. But this is just the way the Lord gave it to me. And so we're just going to teach it the way he gave it to me. Amen? Are you ready to hear from the Lord? He's such a good father. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we thank you that you have released it today for the purpose of cutting some things away and adding to us. And Lord, we open up our heart and say, have your way in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Do you know that God cuts away baggage from the last season so you can move into your next season? And he doesn't ask for permission. You're saying, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And the Lord goes, okay, I'm going to cut this and I'm going to confront you on this because I have the best for you if you'll let that go so you can step on into your destiny. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. Faith is for in this world, right here. We've got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. When we get to heaven, when we enter into the kingdom of God, we don't need that faith. Everything will change. We need faith right now. And that's why the scripture says faith is now. Faith is now. We need it right now in Jesus' name. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Because we're willing to follow the Lord into unknown territory. Are you willing? Can you say it? I'm willing to follow the Lord into unknown territory. Now I'm going to ask you another question. How many people here like to know everything that's going to happen and make all your decisions ahead of time? Lay it all out. See, this is confession this morning. And there's nothing wrong with being that way because there are times you've got to be that way, right? However, when it comes to obeying what God is saying to you, sometimes you just have to take that step of faith into unknown territory. And I look at it like this. Anytime I share the gospel with someone, I'm stepping into unknown territory. Is that right? Anytime you step out to help someone in need, you're stepping into unknown territory. You usually don't know how big that need is. Until you said yes to what God asked you to do, and then you're in the middle of it. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yes, hallelujah. We've got to be willing to step into unknown territory. And our ministry here at River of Life has always been and will always be a pioneering ministry. We're an apostolic, prophetic church. And we are willing to go into unknown territory, because going into unknown territory excites us. Hallelujah. When you hang out with Bishop Hammond and Apostle Leon, you know, when we met them, we knew we were in our tribe because that's the way they are. And when we connected with them 30 years ago, it's been the most adventurous time of our life. And it doesn't stop. Look at your neighbor and say, it's really just beginning. So if you're here this morning, I believe you have a pioneering spirit. And I want to tell you this morning that God has positioned us for victory. When we say yes to the Lord to be the forerunners, the first ones in, God gives us everything that we need to do what He's asked us to do. And that is our testimony over and over again. When we started this ministry 29 years ago, we're on our 29th year. And so when you think about it, we've been declaring, we're writing the chapter 29 of the book of Acts. And that's what we've been writing. We finally made it to 29 years. But we've been writing that last chapter of the book of Acts because we are a New Testament church. And when we started this ministry in 1996, the Lord had spoke to Leonard for 5 years. And on his way to work every day, he worked at Vincent Bach. At that time, it was downtown, just right over the bridge where all those fancy new buildings are now. There was a factory there, and that's where he worked. And sometimes I would drive from South Bend over there and drop him off cakes and take him all kinds of stuff, you know, to work. And we'd just hand him through the window because they wouldn't let you into the factory to take something in. But that's where it was, down there. And the theater was right down on Main Street. And he drove by it, and every day, on his way to work, the Lord would say, buy that theater. Well, we were well established in a church. We had grown up in that church. Our families were in that church. There was we probably had close to 200 members between the two of us, family members in that church. And it was like a 700-member church. And Leonard was a head elder, and so his dad had been head elder before him. So why would we be looking for anything else? Until the Lord was really talking to us in the late 80s about starting and planning an apostolic prophetic church and just began to connect everything together. So to make a long story short, when we bought that theater, they had taken out all the lights because it had a non-compete clause, and so none of the lights could be in it and there couldn't be any theater seats in it. And all the theater, of course, all the cameras and action have been taken out. So anyway, when we bought it, it was pretty much gutted. And so we had bought it ourselves because we didn't have a congregation yet. We had our family, and we had some intercessors that were called to the work. And so when we bought it, we just stepped out by faith for God to supply our needs. And we started doing 10 weeks of outreach. And many of you may remember this. We did 10 weeks of outreach before we ever opened our doors. Because our heart was for His kingdom to come to the lost. For His will to be done for those who had not heard the gospel. And when we had our first Love and Action outreach down in the neighborhood, we were down in what's called the Hole in Elkhart. And that's where God sent us in. And at our first outreach, the person that was leading the outreach said, how many of you can tell me the name of the Son of God? Well, some hands went up, but the first two children he called out got it wrong. And the third person said, Jesus is the Son of God. And it just broke my heart because I thought, here we are in Elkhart, Indiana. Have you seen a church on every corner in Elkhart, Indiana? Mostly a conservative type, quote, religious town. And we had a whole group. There was, 70-some kids down there and parents standing around. And the children did not know Jesus Christ is their Savior. And so for 10 weeks, that's what we did before we ever opened the doors in the church. And in the meantime, Elder Ron and Carol, they had come alongside because their daughter was in the expressive arts program, and Aaron was about this tall at that time. And of course, God would send an electrician, right? And he and Apostle Leonard put up some outside lights. You know those lights that come on when it goes dark? Yeah, that was the kind of lights that we had in the building because that's what we could afford. Built a stage. We had a lot of carpenters and got ready, got the building ready for people to come. And they did come. They did come. At the end of 10 weeks, there was about 150 people that came. And so God began to put a team together. And that team, many of us are still together today. And then he added to us. Some went on to other ministries. But when we moved over here, he added to us. And we've got an amazing apostolic leadership team that God has put together. Yes, give the Lord a praise for our leaders. But he positioned us for victory. And as we ministered in downtown Elkhart, we did a lot of prayer walking, a lot of declaration. We had Friday night school of the Holy Spirit every Friday night. And we began to see God change that area. When we bought our building, there were so many empty buildings downtown. There was a satanic bookstore. There was two New Age bookstores. There was a Wicca Witch. And buildings were empty. And the town was really ran down. And Leonard, having favor with the city, he ended up on the vision committee for downtown Elkhart. And they began to pray because they were Christians. The mayor was a Christian and began to put this plan together. And we did our part because, you see, we do the part that's in the spiritual. Apostles and prophets go in and take territories. They push back and push out the powers of darkness by using God's word and releasing decrees. And what we saw God begin to do was he began to dry up the finances of the New Age bookstore and the satanic bookstore. And the reason I know that was on a Friday night, we stood up and we made a decree that the satanic bookstore's finances would dry up. And it was about 3 months later, I drove into church to my office, and there was the satanic, they were carrying out all their stuff. They had it all boxed up, you know? And so I ran over to the pizza place, because that's the guy that owned it, and I said, hey, what happened to the satanic bookstore? Where are they going? And he said, I don't know, but their finances dried up. Go Jesus! And so we used to pray walk a lot. The Satanists pray walk too. Did you know that? They walked constantly. That town had been so taken over by the powers of darkness. If the church does not move in and release the light, that's what happens. We are the only force in the earth that has authority over all the power of the enemy. It's us, church. It's us. We can shut up, stand back, and not do anything, but that is not the assignment of the church. That is not the assignment of our church. And so if you're connected to our church, you should know that this is our assignment. It is to pray for territories. It is to pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in cities, in the nation, in the body of Christ, in your life. So when you come into the river, you know, all you need is it, God has it. God has it. Many ministers have been raised up in this place and they're out preaching and going other places because God has assignments in the body of Christ. He's called us to teach, train, and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And how do we do that? Well, the number one thing is, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you hear his voice? That's a big thing here, that you know the Father's voice. We're not making your decisions. We will help counsel with you. We'll give you good counsel from the Word of God. But you know what? You are responsible for you before God. You are responsible for you before God. And for too long, the church has just depended upon someone else to make all their decisions. No, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. God has called us together as a church because that's how we function in the kingdom of God. That's how we function together. We're the church. We're the body. We have many members, differing gifts. And when you bring that all together, our gifts encourage us, they nurture us, they cause us to be strengthened. Do you need strength on Sunday? I look at Sunday as it's a supercharge time, you know? It's just like we get plugged into the throne of God and he supercharges us. He gets us ready for the week because he knows what is coming. And he has assignments for us. And he never asks us to do something we're not ready to do or equipped to do. But you know, if the Lord asks you to do something, then you better start preparing. Because preparation time is never wasted time. It's never wasted time. I prepared messages for years before I ever preached a message. I studied for years before I was ever stood in the pulpit. I'd preach to my friends. I preach to anyone that would listen to me. Hallelujah. Latest revelation. You are called to be ministers wherever you're at. And we teach this here a lot. We teach it here a lot. I hope you've heard it. But in 2006, I was looking back because did you know that you live life looking forward? But you understand life looking back. So we've been on a fast pace since we planted the church. There is never a dull moment at the river. That's right. Sylvia's been with us for years. There's never a dull moment. You never know what's coming. Because we're the ones, what do we say around here? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so you have to look back to understand everything that's going on. Well, you see, we've been preaching, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, for as long as I can remember. That was our theme downtown. But when we got to this building in 2005, we moved in June of 2005, rebuilt the stage, because you know you have to have things a certain way, rebuilt the stage, and just getting ready to open the doors. And a lot of the congregation didn't follow us because a lot of our congregation didn't even have a car. They walked to church. This isn't that much further, but they didn't have a car. You know, we are so blessed in this country. I was thinking this morning when we were singing and we didn't have any visuals, it just reminded me of going into India and singing out in the jungles with the tribes. They don't have any visual aids. They're fortunate if they have Bibles. We're so spoiled. I told Jeff this morning, if the church needs visual aids to worship, then they need to get their heart right. Need to get our heart right. Because we don't need all that. But in 2006, we had our first conference here proclaiming the kingdom of God. And we had a conference, kingdom conference, almost every year. And that's when we had this banner made, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's our declaration, church. Is that in your heart? I mean, it just burns passionately inside of me. And we had a conference every year. But on that year that we had that first one, let me tell you why we had it, what spurred me on. It was 2006, and we had our first community block party because we wanted our neighbors to know and understand we're not the First Baptist Church. You know, we've had people walk in here thinking it's still First Baptist Church, and a woman gets up to preach, and they walk back out the door. So sad. So sad. But we wanted them to know we weren't the First Baptist Church. And we had a great turnout. We probably had at least 400 people in the parking lot. and music was going, you know, games for the kids and all of that, and we were all out there. And four young men walked up to Pastor Vanessa, and what they said is, your little white church will never survive in our black country. Right there, the enemy showed his hand. He can't keep his mouth shut. And it wasn't long after that, a ruling principality and power in this area visited me in prayer. And it was very ruthless. Looked like a big black vulture of some kind. And what it spoke to me is, I will eat the carcass of your ministry. And that's how we began in this territory. On the other side of the tracks, we dealt with all kinds of occult activity, Wicca, warlords, all kinds of warlocks, all kinds of occult stuff, satanic ritual abuse victims. I ended up going back to school. God connected me with mentors because of the disassociation that they struggled with. I needed to understand how to help them be delivered and set free and their minds reprogrammed by the power of God, and how to walk them through that process. So downtown, you know, we thought we were really dealing with some difficult principalities and powers, but the Lord had told us when we moved to this side of the tracks, we would face different ones. And when I talked to the police department, they said, oh yeah, it's totally different from one side of the tracks to the other. And so CI came in, General Martha Lucia came in, several of the intercessors came in, and we spent a week praying in this territory and going to specific points that the Lord had asked us to go to, because many times God has revealed principalities and powers to me, and I'm telling you, He's given us authority to cut off what they're doing to people. He's given us that authority. And that's why it's so important that we stand together as a church. That is why it is so important that we understand the call. That's why it is so important that we are the voice of the Lord. You know, when we come together, I love seeing everybody. I love worshiping. And I love being with you because we can take care of the Father's business for the territory. Come on. But we're living in a historic hour. The church is in a new era. We're in the era of the kingdom of God. And God is raising up believers to serve as divine intersection points between heaven and earth. When we come together on assignment, whatever we release into the territory, we want it to be the Father's will and about our Father's business. He has done so much for us. And as the church, He's called us to do that. And God's bringing together all of this previous outpourings and the movements of God. They've all converged in this time of history. And I think about our bishop, Bishop Dr. Bill Hammond. He is a church historian. He has... If you haven't read his books, I encourage you, because you're not going to understand the history that we have and the value of that, or where the church has come from. Because if you don't know where you come from, then you don't know where you're going. We've got to know the pioneers that have given their life over and over again. You know, people gave their life so we could be baptized in Jesus' name. People gave their life so that we could do what we do today. We just take so many things for granted, church. But I just feel this passion inside of my heart. It's just burning that God has raised up an army. Bishop prophesied the saints movement, and a lot of people are still trying to figure out how that works. You're supposed to be out in the marketplace, the highways and byways, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and releasing the gospel to the people that you find. You are His voice. This is the decade of the pay, the decade of the voice. Do you know, why do you think COVID came and they asked us to put masks on? Because they want to shut up. They want to shut people up. Some of it was for protection, but much of it was to keep you quiet. You know, and I have friends that would not put on a mask. I mean, they're just furious about that. No one's going to muzzle me. And I, you know, I'm a counselor. I reframe things. It's like, Lord, help me with this. Reframe this for me. So I put my mask on, and I'd be walking through the store. She come ashata. I bind you, demon of lust. Get away from that young girl. I break your power now by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm just praying like crazy, speaking it out behind my mask. Yeah, people were looking like, but they couldn't figure out for sure what you were saying, you know. But you know what? I thought, well, I'm not going to cause a scene, because we're to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So I just took advantage of having that mask on and praying in the spirit and taking authority over what I see in the spirit when I'm out. And I'm usually just praying it in my head. Y'all pray in your head? Yeah, you just pray it in your head. But when you have that mask on, you know, you could just pray it out loud. You could just pray it out. I mean, you could pray it out loud without that mask, but you know, somebody might come pick you up, put a straitjacket on you and take you out. But anyway, it's our time, church. Tell someone close to you, it's our time. When we look around at everything going on, we know that we are the only ones that have authority over the power of the enemy. And we should pray for our first responders, pray for our policemen, pray for everyone that is out there in the middle of that. Because they're out in the middle of it. But we lift up that banner of Jesus, and we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus. And so we have work to do. Tell someone we have work to do. But at 1 Corinthians 6:18-20, we'll get on our scriptures here. It says, flee sexual immorality. The only way to get away from sexual immorality is to run. It is to run from it. Do you hear me? It is to run from it. Flee sexual immorality. It's the only way to deal with it. Get away from it. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, say therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are, tell me, what's your paper say? God's. We belong to God. And throughout the Bible, the temple is where God dwells with his people. So if we're the temple of God, that means it is through us that God reaches the world. And in the ancient world, people would travel far and wide to encounter God in the temple in Jerusalem. But he has put his spirit in us. We are the temple of God. Say, I am the temple of God. And so God wants people to come to us to meet with him. You see, we're the conduit. God flows through us. You wonder why someone's talking to you. I know the girls would say, Mom, why is that person talking to you? You don't even know them. Does anybody else ever have that happen? People just start talking to you. It's because Jesus wants to talk to them. He wants to meet with them. I was used to tell them, oh, it's just because I have a friendly face. It's probably because I smiled at them. Do we smile at people? I hope you do. I hope people say, those River of Life folks, they're always smiling. You know, we have authority over the enemy and we can smile about it. You know, we're positioned for victory. We're positioned for victory. We got to remember that. Let's look at Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Arise is to arise from a quiet, inactive, and subjugated state to become active and vocal. That's what the Hebrew says. It's to become active and to become vocal. And we are in the decade of the pay. We are in the decade of the voice. We have an active voice releasing the will and the word of the Lord. I heard the Lord say that the kingdom of darkness is pushing to establish a foothold in our nation. He's pushing. But the Lord said, we're kingdom enforcers. The kingdom of God enforcers. Let's look at your scripture, your next scripture, Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Well, let me share with you how you can enforce. From instructions in the Bible, we're to start our prayers with praise. Praise is a weapon of war. We have taught spiritual warfare since the early 90s. And it's like, I get so excited because what a way to fight a war. Every time we come in here and we start to pray and we start to sing and we release the high praises of God into the atmosphere, it's a weapon of war. We don't understand what all of that does. But you know what? It's what God asks us to do. All right, number two is acknowledging God for who he is, where he is, and what he can do. We acknowledge the Lord God Almighty. And then we must pray for his will to be done. And the fourth thing is God promises that his will shall come to pass, but we must be open to his will. How many of you have prayed and things didn't turn out the way you thought they should? Oh, yeah. More times than one, right? Do we have two, three? It happens a lot. And then number six, prayer prepares our heart to carry out his will. When we started our work here in Elkhart, we didn't start as a church. We started as a group, and our name is Praisers Ministries. Praisers. God had connected together a group of intercessors and a group of musicians, worshipers, and we would come together one night a week, and that is what we would do. We would worship the Lord, we would pray, and we would share from the Word of God. And this is one of our favorite Psalms, 149:6-9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. It doesn't say the low praises, right? It's a high praises and a two-edged sword in their hand. You know, that's the word of God, the Logos word and the Rhema word. It's a double-edged sword. Let it be in our hand. And why? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. So you see, to execute judgment, to release the word of God is your honor. It's an honor. God asked us to do that. It's an honor of the saints. That's our job as the church. Not to back up, but to push forward with the word of the Lord. Because the scripture says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let me tell you what it says from the message. It says, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. When we use God's word, it's not going to return to us empty-handed. All of the prayers that we have prayed over the years, they'll never come back empty-handed. Some prayers take a little longer than others, but don't give up. Keep standing in the gap for your family, for your lost loved ones, because God's word will not return void. It will not come back empty-handed, because it will do, the Lord said, it will do what I sent it to do. It will do what I sent it to do. Your job is to send it. It's your voice. It's your voice. It's your job to send it, and God will cause it to happen. Do you believe that, church? You're getting tired on me. I know you are. It's like, we need another jolt of caffeine or something. The last part of that in the message is they will complete the assignment I gave them. When we pray words, we're assigning them. We're assigning them to that situation. Can you grab a hold of that? Grab a hold of that? These words are assigned in that situation. So the Bible's full of individuals, groups of people who did incredible things, not because of the strength that they had in and of themselves, but because of their great faith in God. Because of our great faith in God, God has done great and mighty things, and it's only just begun. It is going to get better and better. The word of the Lord is that the latter will be greater than the former. Apostle Leon has released that over this congregation many times. Your latter will be greater than your former. You know, we've got to break off the limitations that we put on God and what that looks like to us, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. So God has much more for you than what you have even began to imagine. Above and beyond. Faith is displayed when we step out and trust before the miracle takes place. It means we keep our eyes on Jesus when storms rage around us. And it means we are willing to follow God without fully knowing where he will take us. And I thought today, it's so easy to get distracted. Visual aids pull a lot of things together. Music pulls things together. But like I said, if that's what we're dependent on, then we're dependent upon the wrong thing, because we should depend upon the Spirit of the Almighty God to pull it all together. Pull it all together, Lord. Pull it all together. And help us to be willing to fully follow you when we don't know where it's going to take us. Next scripture, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And we're not going to go deep into this story, but most of you know God called him out and ask him to leave. Well, he was a very wealthy man. And he had a very large family. And not everybody was going with him. He told Abraham to come out. and all those good pastures that the flocks had been feeding in, all of his vineyards, all of his fig trees, all of his wealth. Gabe shared it this morning. It didn't hold him there. What he had in the present moment was not enough to keep him from obeying what God was asking him to do. He's known as the father of faith, father of the faithful, Abraham, a man of faith. So he was willing to go. And this is what I took from that. What produces peace in your spirit may not produce peace in your flesh. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the Lord spoke to me and he said, give me your trust, Janet. Don't give me your opinions. Anybody have opinions here? The saying is that they're as common as the nose on your face. If that person next to you has a nose, then they've got an opinion. Another thing the Lord shared with me is his instructions are never a two-way conversation. Now, in the natural, when you give instructions, you get a two-way conversation going. But when God gives instructions, there's no bargaining with him and talking him out of it or maybe changing this or changing that. Like we do, right? In team ministry, as we work together as a congregation, we do those things. And among us, that's good. Who cares how the tables are set? I said, I'm not the kind of person that is into big, social, beautiful things. I'm not going to fold your napkin and put it by your plate. Okay? If you get a napkin and a plate, I'm happy. There are some things that God brings other people into the body of Christ to take care of those things. I kept telling Leonard when we planted the church, I said, they want me to be a pastor's wife, and I'm your wife, but I'm not a pastor's wife in the sense that people coming in think you should be a pastor's wife. I'm not handling all the social engagements. I'm bringing in the apostles and prophets to preach, teach, and release the anointing of God to build us up, to take us to another level. Apostle Leon said, we are in this place to go to another level. God will use this place to teach us. I hope you've been taught in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 15:1 says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid. We walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We each have a measure of faith. That faith that we have is the inlet for the grace gifts to flow into our life. Okay, so God gives us a measure of faith. A measure of faith to get saved. Did you know you can't even get saved if God doesn't help you? I don't think we realize how helpless we are. But God. You know, they realize it in other countries, but in America, we've got a whole lot. We have a whole lot of comforts. And I'm not complaining, you know. I like them. But we can't get so comfortable. Because remember, when God asks us to do something, our flesh might not be so comfortable. So there is a measure of faith. And I just wanted to expound because some things were said. There is a measure of faith that's given to every person. And faith is a gift. And we can grow our faith. That measure of faith that is given to us can be developed and it can be grown. And we grow it by reading and listening to the Word, by praying in the Spirit, and our act in obedience. When we act in obedience to God's Word, we should also obey God's Word and earnestly, the Scripture says, desire spiritual gifts, including the gift. There's a gift of faith. A gift of faith that is like a supernatural gift of faith, okay? Dr. Summer was sharing with us a story about a missionary that he traveled with that was in the room that they put him in had a drip, and it was right over his bed. And that water just kept dripping. And it was a very small room. There really wasn't any place to go to get away from the drip. And so his gift of faith, he commanded that water to flow backwards, and it did. Have you ever seen a gift of faith like that? I mean, just think about that. That's a gift of faith. Faith is a huge subject. You can't just simplify it into you have a measure of faith. Well, we do have a measure of faith. But the measure of faith is also something that can grow as we walk with the Lord. How many here would say that your faith has grown since you started walking with the Lord? Yeah. Yeah, as you see God move in your life, your faith grows. So we're going to keep going here. Philippians 3:16 says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So we're to walk the same rule and mind the same thing. That means we have unity, is that right? We have unity, and I don't have time to go into that. But that word walk in the Greek means to stay in rank and file, to march in military rank, to keep step. So as an apostle, I'm always trying to catch everybody up and getting the foundation underneath their feet. Pastor Leonard, that's what we've done for years. The teaching is get the foundation underneath your feet so that you're on a sure foundation and you understand. We're not asking anyone to do anything blindly. And if a teaching comes forward that needs to be expounded on, then I'm going to expound on it, because you're my responsibility. You're our responsibility. You're our leadership team responsibility. There is always more than some simple broad stroke. You hear a lot of broad stroke preachers, and they can get you all excited, and that's not even what that verse means or the context that the Scripture means. But I'm telling you, you can pull things out of the Bible, and exhorters are great at this because they can exhort the Word, but it might not be right. And that's a fearful place to be. You know, we're held accountable for the Word that goes forth. The Scripture says, don't desire to teach, because you are judged double. You're judged by the Lord God Almighty, and you're judged by the people in front of you. You're judged double. And your oversight when they hear your messages. Hallelujah. But we want to be. If you're willing to be judged right now, you don't have to worry about being judged in heaven. Do you hear me? So many people avoid really looking at themselves. And this isn't in your notes. But you know, we're to walk, rank, and file. We're to march in military ranks. You know what I'm talking about? It's understanding the flow of the body of Christ and how God has gifted us. And we're not going to go into all that at this time, but we do need to. But it means to walk in an orderly fashion set by someone other than ourselves. Anyone been in the military? Just two? You go into the military and you are no longer your own. The military owns you. When I was in Taiwan, I worked with groups of young people. In Taiwan, you're required to go into the military or higher education. 2 years of military, 2 years of higher education. You get to pick which one you do first. And that group of young people, 20-ish people, they were the best group to work with because they understood what it meant to work together as a team and to walk in rank. They understood order. Church, we have got to understand order. Apostle Leon told me a couple of years ago, he said, you need to write a book on apostolic order. Well, I haven't. He's coming in October. Oh, he gives me. Have you ever noticed how many assignments he gives me? I think you all are supposed to do some of them. So, not just me. But anyway, I wanted to read a final thing in closing. If you can listen up. How many here have ever heard of Tim Sheets? Tim Sheets. How many of you were here when we had Tim Sheets here? Three, four, five, six. God has brought some amazing people through this place. Because every time there's a deposit, where much is given, finish the scripture. Where much is given, much is required. God is constantly depositing into his body. But I just want to read this. This is from his book, The New Era of Glory. And this is just it really struck my spirit when I heard it because our two words are arise and advance. And advance is like an acceleration. And this is what he said. This is the day of his accelerated power, glory, and mightiness. His anointing, the synergy of the ages, the anointing of the ages converged into our time. The releasing of companies of angels by the millions. The moving of the Holy Spirit and his increased outpouring is speeding everything up. Progress will accelerate. He is causing his kingdom to move faster. He is pushing the throttle forward. He is amping everything up. The velocity of Christ's kingdom is now going to surge forward. The breaker, who is King Jesus himself, is rising to run with his people. Messiah the breaker is rising to run with power through the camps of his enemy. The kingdom of Almighty God is going to rumble, possessing promises that are now full due. It's going to rumble and receive breakthrough after breakthrough. Breakthroughs are moving faster towards us. It's going to rumble toward the harvest of lost men, women, boys, and girls. Rapid harvests are now going to be reaped. This is not the day of his weakness. It is the day of his power. It's the day of ever-increasing glory. Lay aside all weight, sin, and passivity. Lay aside any backsliding ways or lethargy and hear the call of the Spirit of God. It is time to rumble. Hell hasn't seen anything yet, and it will not prevail. The kingdom's speeding up. Performance, power, and miracles are speeding up. This world will see a New Testament church that rumbles with aggressive power and rules in the midst of her enemies. He will bring the enemies of our King and lay them at his feet as a footstool. The Holy Spirit says it's urgent that my people understand it. It is time to rumble. It is time to go for it. And that's where we're at. That's the season that we are in. Many of these things have been prophesied, spoke years ago. But it's time. Tell your neighbor, it's time. Connie used Amos 9:13. 9:13, that is, it pertains to Israel. And that the harvest of their crops and their wine will be so rapid that they're still harvesting when it's time to plant. Because there'll be such an abundance. And when it comes into the church realm, because we are the spiritual Israel, it means that we're in the last times to harvest the souls, to reach the lost, to bring in those that are lost. It's going to just accelerate and accelerate in this season. It's going to move so fast it will make your head swim, is what the translation says, because it's a rapid acceleration. We are experiencing that rapid acceleration. Have you felt it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Woo, things are picking up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How about it? Do you like it?
Amen.
Some of you that are very adventurous are like, yeah, let's do that. Okay, so let me tell you what we're doing next. We're going to pray over this word. And we're going to pray over Tara and her family. She's coming into membership today. And so that means her whole family's coming in with us. I don't know if they knew that's what it means, but just takes one person to lead the way for the family. And so I'm glad her husband's here today.
Amen.
And she's got her chillins with her. Got some children with you? Awesome. So we're going to pray over all them first. So, Father, we thank you for this word that's gone forward. Lord Jesus, thank you for the revelation and understanding of the times and the seasons that we are in. Thank you, Lord, for the strength, the courage that that river of life is rising up as the church you've called us to be. We are the people that you've called together. And we thank you, Lord, that the fruit of our labors manifest in our families. And you bring a completion to some things that were started but weren't completed. That's what I hear the Lord say. He's bringing a completion to some things that you started but you hadn't completed. So, Lord, remind them of what those things are. Because, God, you've called us to move in an accelerated pace. And we all like to put our foot to the metal. Thank you, Lord. Amen.